You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The new UK government has only been in power for less than a month, yet has already found itself in an economic and political turmoil following the release of a package of tax cuts and borrowing. Newly appointed Chancellor of the Exchequer, Kwasi Kwarteng, released his mini-budget last week, prompting a sharp devaluation of the Great British Pound against the greenback. The International Monetary Fund today took aim at the package, warning that large and untargeted fiscal packages would likely increase inequality in Britain and could undermine monetary policy. To get more on the currency crisis, as well as how it may impact us in Aotearoa, I spoke to Murat Ungur from the University of Otago and started by asking how the pound got to this point.
So, first of all, the announcement came as markets around the world have been tumbling for a while in response to high interest rates and recession fears. And the shock to markets came largely from the scale of tax cuts and the absence of spending measures or offsetting revenue. And this is really raising a concern about the UK's fiscal strategy and the policy mix. And one thing that is very important aspect of the problem is that UK current account deficit, which includes the trade balance and net income from foreign investment, had already widened to a record level this year. So if I need to give a number, according to recent data, the current account deficit deteriorated to a record 8.3% of GDP in the first quarter of 2022. What does it mean? It means that the UK has become more reliant on inflows of foreign money this year. And this highlights the vulnerability of the British economy and therefore the trust issues regarding British economic management. So there is a gap between countries' consumption and its production. And therefore, the British currency, the pound, can only maintain its value if foreigners want to lend to the Britain. So in other words, if they want to buy up assets such as land or housing or companies. But if you look at the numbers today, there's a drop in consumer confidence. There's a drop in business confidence. So these drops in confidence levels tells us that capital inflows will fall. And therefore, the price of the UK assets is also likely to tumble as all these foreign investors head for exit. On top of all of this, there's also Ukraine-Russia crisis. And because of that, there's a jump in the cost of imported energy. And this is also adding to this current account deficit, which is pushing the pound down towards the levels that make UK assets attractive to foreign buyers again.
So what is the intention behind introducing tax cuts like this? Is there a wider rationale behind it than just putting more money in the pockets of higher earners?
Yes, exactly. So basically, it's a plan, part of the plan to boost the long-term potential of the economy. The measures are designed to kickstart economic growth. So the government, the UK government, contends that reducing taxes will encourage more investment, will create a more dynamic economy, and therefore the benefits will flow through the economy. But we have to realize or we have to remember that there is a risk because the UK economy has been struggling with lack of productivity and lack of economic growth. So this gentleman, Kwasi Kwarteng, he was appointed as the Chancellor of the Exchequer on the 6th of September, and he sets a target of 2.5% trend economic growth, which is a very, very ambitious level, a level not seen since before the 2008 global financial crisis. I just checked his talk that he gave to Parliament, and he says that we promise to prioritize economic growth. We promise a new approach for a new era. So it is very important to focus on economic growth because it has been one of the structural problems of the UK economy. But growth is a long-term phenomenon. So therefore, it is very important to manage your communication as the government, so that you can manage this process. So in sum, the intention is to lower taxes and reduce bureaucracy, and therefore they can spur economic growth and generate additional revenue in the future.
So how can this all be stabilized? What kind of intervention is needed here to bring it all under control?
So there are two parts of economic policy. One of them is monetary policy, and the other one is fiscal policy. So right now what we have is that tax cuts will add to the boost to demand from the huge energy support. So basically, fiscal is right now boosting the demand. On the other hand, monetary policy is pulling in the opposite direction. Central banks all around the world, they have been trying to reduce demand and lower inflation since last year. And to do that, many central banks, including Bank of England, they have been increasing interest rates. Therefore, they can reduce demand and they can lower inflation. But what we see right now is that all these tax cuts and huge energy support will actually increase demand. So therefore, we do not see a coordination between fiscal and monetary policy. So right now, inflation rate in the UK is around 9.9%, and the target inflation rate is 2%. So it's a very significant increase in inflation rate. And therefore, central bank or Bank of England has been trying to increase the interest rates so that they can actually lower the inflation. So what we are going to see in the following weeks and months is that Bank of England will increase the interest rates, and there are some reports that I read actually this morning. So financial markets are actually pricing that the UK interest rates next summer can reach 5%. So this will be a very significant increase. So again, this gives a very important lesson. There should be a coordination between monetary policy and fiscal policy. And many, many years ago, like four decades ago, two very important macroeconomists, Thomas Sargent, who is a Nobel laureate, and Neil Walz, they actually warned us. They published a paper in 1981, and the central message is that a central bank may not have the power to determine the long-run inflation without fiscal support. And this is exactly what is happening in the UK economy right now.
And we've also just seen the International Monetary Fund come out against a package saying that large and untargeted fiscal packages would likely increase inequality in Britain and could undermine monetary policy. What do you make of this move by the IMF?
So Britain actually experienced such a situation in the 1970s, and at that time they also consulted IMF. Because IMF is very concerned. If you look at IMF reports, if you look at the World Bank reports, they are very concerned about all this very high inflation rates. And inflation is just part of the problem that we have. And one of the concerns about the inflation is that when prices go up, when prices increase, people who have very low budgets, people who are the poor segments of the society, they are the individuals, they are the households that are hurt most. Why? Because they spend most of their budget on necessity, on food, on transport, on rents. And right now, if you look at all these inflation numbers, there's huge inflation in food prices. So there's food price inflation. There is inflation in rental rates. There is also price increases in transports with all this energy crisis. Therefore, this increases in food, on food and rental rates and transport, put a lot of budget pressure on very poor segment of the society, and this will increase inequality in the society. That's why IMF is right. International organizations are well aware of this problem. So that's why it is very important to have monetary and fiscal policy coordination to combat inflation.
Are we seeing or will we see any impacts of this currency crisis in New Zealand?
First of almost every currency in the world has been declining against the U.S. dollar. And the Kiwi dollar has also dropped to its lower level compared to the U.S., I think, since 2009. So when I was looking at the numbers yesterday, so the New Zealand dollar was trading at just over 56 U.S. cents and around 87 Australian cents on Tuesday morning. So basically, we are basically talking about around 20% decrease in the value. One thing that is important is that UK is not our number one trading partner. So we have China, United States, Australia. And UK is also not the frontier economy anymore. So since Industrial Revolution, much has changed. United States is the frontier economy, and then China, Japan, and other industrial giants are coming. So since UK is not our most important trading partner, of course there are going to be some spillover effects, but we are not going to see a currency crisis tomorrow in New Zealand. And one thing that's also important to note is that, so when we have all these drops in New Zealand dollar against the US dollar, this means that importing from U.S. is much more expensive, and exporting to the U.S. Is much more easier. And also traveling overseas is also very pricey. So because right now U.S. dollar has been strengthening, so that's why I think traveling overseas, especially to the United States, is very going to be expensive. So with thinking about the coming summer, perhaps we will see more domestic travel or domestic tourism within New Zealand.
That was Otago Uni's Murat Ungur chatting to me about the currency crisis in the UK.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.